This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, and we want to welcome everybody to the show this morning. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And we've got Youth Day today for deer hunting. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad it's cool. The kids are going to get cold, but I'm also glad that it's dry today. That's always a little nicer. You know, the youth season is always right there, just about the heart of the rut, the whitetail rut anyway, here in Maryland. And we're looking forward to seeing a bunch of pictures and a bunch of youngsters doing really well today. We don't know if anybody's going to call in, but we welcome you to. Dad, Mom, if you're taking son or daughter out today, and you're listening to the sound of my voice on the radio, we would love to hear from you. Just simply call us at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. And, we'd like to talk to your youngster, about, you know, where they're headed, what they're after, what they're looking for, what kind of firearm they're using, how long they been hunting, you know, how they did on their hunter safety test and all that. So, that's the invitation. Chuck Spohr is here, the president of the, Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. You were in Ohio this time last week,
yep,
right?
When you guys
called in. Yeah. Yep. Great. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
And good luck, hunters.
Good luck, hunters. Absolutely. What else is going on? Well, I went sick of deer hunting last Saturday afternoon. I don't know if I got in a little late or if exactly what happened, but I will tell you this is what happened, okay? I got to what we call camp. It's you know, nice little cabin down there in Dorchester County, and my two hunting companions were there, the landowner and another friend. And we talked, and we're sitting there talking, and it's, you know, it's like, oh, there's no rush, but, you know, it was daylight savings time, so, you know, there's an hour less. So, I guess I should have gotten in the stand a little earlier, but we all left about the same time. It was really about 4:30, so we had, you know, hour and a half till sunset and you know, 2 hours till the end of legal shooting time. So I'm walking back the trail. It's off the main trail. It's probably 300 yards back to the shooting house, and we have some really nice shooting houses on the property. So they're built like a little shed with sliding windows and elevated to where, you know, you have like house steps going up to them. So I'm going back the trail, and the trail's cut right through the phragmitis. So I'm going back the trail, and a little sick of deer hind doe came out in front of me about 20 yards and ran ahead of me. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. At least I saw one today. And I figured that she was headed for the feeder platform. The feeders are all on platforms down there to keep the corn out of the water. It's about a 10 by 10 platform, and it's really nice. So I get to the bottom of the stand, and in front of the stand and out the kind of the opening there, I don't know how to explain it. I don't want to give too much away, but it was wet. I mean, there was probably 4 or 5 inches of water. I had to cross maybe 6-8 feet wide to cross to get into to go up the steps to get in the stand. And so there she is on the platform. I take a picture at the bottom of the stairs. Slowly, quietly climb the stairs, open the door, get in, put my crossbow down and my shooting sticks and so forth. And I walk over to the window and look to see if she's on the platform. And she had, I guess with me going up the stairs, we're talking less than 20 yards away, she had gone off into the marsh. I don't think, you know, she was frightened that much or anything, but so you know, I'm not ready. I have the crossbows cocked but not loaded. The shooting sticks are laying on the floor. I don't have a face mask on. I still have my pack on my shoulder. And I slide the window open towards the feeder. And there he was. He walked out of the woods and stood at the edge of the platform. If not the largest sicadeer stag I've ever seen, it was number two. He was a beautiful 6-point. There was no mistake in the 6 points on his antlers. But my crossbow's at my feet. It's unloaded. And I'm trying to, you know, in my mind, keep him there while I get loaded up. And, you know, well, in the movement phase of the thing, and, you know, to kind of sneak and look at him every now and then, he kind of looked up at me and said, "Yeah, I see ya. See ya." And he just turned and walked away. And I shook for the entire time I was in the stand. I absolutely shook. And I'll tell you, if I ever lose that feeling, I'm going to quit hunting, because he shook me up. And, you know, hope against hope, he's coming back. There were does and, I mean, hinds back and forth on the feeders, you know, three or four on the far feeder, and they're walking around, and one walked from one feeder to the other, and, you know, they're on the platform. No interest. None at all. By me, you know. I mean, you've got three sicadeer at 12, 15 yards, you know, and it's pretty exciting to watch, but nothing like that guy. Big, remember what I said last week? I wanted to go and see a big, hairy, bearded, big mane, large, racked sicadeer. Saw him. Didn't close the deal. You ever been there, Chuck?
Don't you know you're supposed to load your crossbow the first thing you do when you get in the blinders?
Well, man. You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I was talking to a fellow who has far, far more sicadeer experience than me, and he said, we always, if we have to cross any water, any marsh to get in the stand, the first thing we do is put an arrow in our bow. I mean, if we walk through the water, we get in the stand as quickly as we can, because we believe that the stags are listening for the sound of that water and think that the hinds are coming to the feeder. So he was just checking you out. He was just checking out the hinds on the feeder, and you weren't there, and so he left. Plus, the fact he probably saw me. Didn't help, but that was exciting.
It makes me I'm trying to find a video here on Facebook for you of two guys walking down a trail in the woods.
Yes.
And it's taken by a trail camera.
Right.
They're about 50 yards from the camera, walking away from the camera.
Right.
Right in front of the camera, the biggest buck you ever saw looks out and sees them walking down the trail, turns around, walks back in the woods.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, when I was a kid, and I don't know which magazine it was, but it was talking about seeing deer, you know, in the woods and what to walk. And I read a lot when I was a kid about deer hunting. My high school theme paper, if whatever you call that, was on bow hunting white-tailed deer in Pennsylvania for 11th grade. I mean, and I did my research then, and I continue to be fascinated by deer now, both whitetails and sicadeer. But it basically said, for every deer that you see, there are 10 that have already seen you and left the area. I thought that was pretty reasonable to assume. So it is what it is. But what can I say? So that was it. That was it for hunting this week. We did a lot of driving around the country, Maryland, from, you know, Hancock to St. Mary's County and beyond, Ocean City. I've been everywhere this week. So new Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine came out. It's online now, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, all spelled out. But if you got pictures of yourself with your rut buck or, you know, kids, we'd love to put them in there, no question about it. Just didn't have a whole lot of room in this last one. A lot of good copy, a lot of good information on. There's the update on the Atlantic population goose situation and the shortage that will be thereof. And I'm watching geese come into the shore, and it's amazing. Every time I see geese, I don't see huge flocks. I mean, the migrators aren't here in big numbers yet. There are a few, and everybody's talking about how few there are coming in. But I'm seeing pairs and pairs and pairs and pairs of geese coming in. And it's a little bit scary because, you know, we're gonna knock down some geese this year with a 50-day and two-goose season. And it's mature breeding age birds for the most part that we're going to be taking. And there's already a shortage of breeding age pairs. And that's what prompted the decision to make it a 30-day and one-bird season next year. Now, we do know that there are folks in the waterfowl community, the guide businesses and so forth, planning on meeting with the governor and have already met with the governor to try to do something. And I don't know that it's in the governor's wheelhouse to be able to change that number because it's the federal government has authority over the migratory game bird program in the Atlantic Flyway. So we'll see. Have you seen any geese up your way?
No, not really.
I mean, there's probably some residents up where you hunt.
Yeah, I mean, there's a farm right at the end of my street. I'm the second house from the farm.
Right.
I'm at a dead end.
Right.
And I see them come in every once in a while to the cut corn. But,
right.
But
right.
Not the huge flocks.
Well, I mean, there's water up there, and Hampstead, Manchester is just covered up with geese usually.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a lot of resident geese right. in the area too. So, you know, if you want to talk about that, we'll be glad to talk about that. So it's Youth Day, 410-922-6680 is the phone number. Chuck Spoor is here to talk a little bit about PCBA. And so there we are. I was late this morning. I mean, I'm here on time, but I left the house 40 minutes later than I usually do. Now, I always allow, when I'm trying to be somewhere, I always like to allow a little slush time, you know. And Chris has been here, and I'll come in at, you know, 4:30, try to take a nap, or actually take a nap, you know, before the show. And it was just walk in the door, sit down, and ready to go. Yeah,
I thought I was guest hosting for a while when I walked.
You almost were, which would have been great. I think you could have handled that very well. So.
You talk about no show prep.
Yeah, exactly. That's new. That's not new. So, all right. Here's some callers coming in. But while we're waiting for the call, the muzzleloader contest is going on too. By the way. We're giving away a muzzleloader. I talked to the fine folks at CVA, and they are shipping. Hold on, let me find it here. They are shipping. I have to go back through about 100 emails to get to this one. Hang on, I'm filtering them. Here it is. Optima LR Nitride is the model that Bill's going to get, William is going to get. If you want to go online and look at that, it's an Optima LR Nitride. LR, I think, is long range, if I remember right. 28-inch barrel, which is nice. So that's from the fine folks at CVA that there's an order in for an Optima LR Nitride. Nitride is a coating they put on a stainless steel barrel to keep anything from happening to the barrel. It's pretty, pretty cool. So here's Donna in Pasadena. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
I am well. And you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Okay. Question. Are sikia deer only native to the eastern shore?
Yes.
And how do they differ from whitetail?
Oh, a sikka deer is actually a mini elk. It's a member of the elk family.
Oh.
Okay. They're still a cervid, but they have been brought in over a century ago from Japan.
Uh-huh.
And they were released on James Island. They tried to make them an attraction I'm not sure exactly what the purpose for bringing them here from Japan was, but they released them on Assateague Island and they released them on James Island originally.
Uh-huh.
And they've expanded their territory, from there. They are a creature of the marsh and they have adapted to the point where they can eat just about anything in the marsh. They will bed and they will breed on a little bit of higher ground. You know, the hardwoods and little raised areas up out of the marsh so they can get a little bit dry. But for the most of the time, they spend their day in the marsh feeding and so forth. And, you know, they're totally adapted to, living in the water. You know, they know where all the high spots are, of course, but they're totally adapted to eating and feeding and, you know, living in the marshlands. Now they've expanded their range from Assateague and Dorchester into Worcester, Wicomico. I'm not sure how many there are in Somerset County. Dorchester, there's a very few in Talbot, Caroline, and even further. But, you know, there's about a population of 12 to 13,000 of them here in Maryland.
Wow.
And we harvest about 3,000 of them a year. Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge is a place if you want to take the drive down through there towards the evening, you're going to see them.
Interesting.
They typically grow an elk-like rack. A big one has only 6 points. They attain a weight of about 100 pounds. The biggest one I've ever heard of was 140 pounds, which is, you know, the new state record with a bow. And 6 points is about max. There are a few sevens and eights out there that we've seen. Their antlers sweep backwards. They breed about a month prior to the whitetails. Their peak of their rut is mid-October. I don't know what else to tell you. Anything you can think of, Joe?
You know a lot more than I do about them, so.
Oh, well, you know.
I'm sitting here learning.
They're highly nocturnal, I know that. You know, and the way that they're hunted in the marsh is to come to a feeder, you know, a corn feeder or a supplement feeder, something like that. It's a little hard to get one to walk by you just on a trail without some type of attraction, which is legal. Baiting is legal here in Maryland, so it's, you know.
So they're bigger than white?
No. Smaller.
Oh, okay.
Much smaller. About half the size, actually.
Because you said 100 pounds. That sounds like a lot.
No, a typical whitetail here in Maryland, a whitetail doe will range about 80 pounds up to 130, 140.
Oh, okay.
A whitetail buck, they start at about 130. When they get to maturity, we've killed deer here in Maryland well over 300 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the record weight from deer is 368 pounds here in Maryland.
Wow. No, I've got them in the backyard.
Yeah, those are your typical, 130, 150 pound deer. The males will get a little bit larger than the does.
Yeah, we had a doe a couple of years ago that had 3 fawns.
Yeah, they can do that.
That's not unusual?
Not really, no. A mature doe can often have 3 fawns.
Yeah, we had a fox last year. I had more fun. She had about 4 or 5 little ones, and, I mean, they were just the best to watch. I mean, they were like little puppies at the time playing. They'd jump on top of the big recycle container, and they were just fun to watch, but nothing this year. But it was really fun to watch last year.
Gotcha. Very good.
All right,
Donna. Well, I hope somebody learned something on that one. So.
Yeah, absolutely, I did. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. See you.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Anything you have to say?
No. They're about the size of a large lab.
Exactly. A large lab. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, and they're darker. The back ends are typically spotted. They have a mane and a beard
and they bugle like elk.
Kind of like a billy goat. They bugle like an elk. They wallow like an elk. They're more vocal than whitetails. I forgot that part. But I didn't forget this. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Hey, I stopped by Bay Country Bakery the other day. I did, got a nice cup of coffee. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast from 7-11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day today, Saturday, but they have some of the most delicious fresh baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Enough for everyone in camp. Hey, when I'm on Route 50 headed to or from the deer stand or duck blind or delivering magazines, my mouth and belly can't wait to stop at Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich, a fresh cup of hot coffee. I just look for the big donut on the side of the bakery and the chocolate donut on the front of the building. The sign has pink sprinkled donuts on it. Yeah, you've seen it. You stopped there, sure. Even after your hunt, your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch. So, Dave and Jeannie Levy, your host, are trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway. That's just through Cambridge on the right-hand side, Route 50 East. Think Big Donut. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery, or be sure to stop by and say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. You never know.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
And we're back, right? Or not? Oh, you want to do a live spot? Oh, well, I can talk about Chesapeake Outdoors. Why not? Why wouldn't I? I think that might be one of our youth callers on the line. So, hey, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. That's right. They're located Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island. You go past it every time you go to the beach. Matthews, bows, Raven, Excalibur, Mission, 10 point, Carbon Express, Barnett, crossbows, custom arrows, bow tuning, and so forth, banded and, scentlock apparel for camo hunting, Rambo bikes, waterfowl season coming up. They'll be doing waterfowl picking again, guns, ammo, Yeti coolers, Costa Del Mar sunglasses, and bubble blade knives. I gotta slip all that in there, but they're friendly and courteous staff, professional staff is waiting to help you find what you need for this upcoming hunting season. 410-604-2500, Chesapeake Outdoors, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there on Kent Island.
Talk Radio 680, WCPM.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching wood. We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy like the hippies out in San Francisco.
All right, we got some callers on the air. Who do we got? Oh, we got to get there. We might have some youth hunters on the line. Hang on there, guys. If you're listening, please do. Chris gets busy during commercial time, doesn't he? Now, what were you saying about Bay Country Bakery?
Oh, man. I love to stop by there. I love to stop by there. And this weekend, Diane's down at Ocean City with her sisters, and mm-hmm. I told her that her one sister drove, so I said, tell her, when you come home, you got to go 50, not 404, because I want you to bring me some donuts, especially some bear claws.
There you go. Bear claws, elephant ears, they're all spectacular. No question. All right. We are waiting for some phone calls. Hopefully they're Ute hunters.
Yeah.
And we got to call in to our guys out in Montgomery County who do a special thing out there every year. And they get mobilized, and they get the adults mobilized, and they get it's kind of a loose-knit club members, mobilized, and they take a bunch of youth hunters. I think there were 16 last year that they did.
Yeah, I remember talking about it.
Yeah, the goal is to get every youngster a buck.
Right.
And they have massive amounts of property out there that they have permission to hunt. These guys will do organized deer drives and so forth, and so it's good. Yep, sure is. So let's see if that's them calling in. Let's talk to Wes first. Wes, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Alan. I hope you don't think I'm one of the youth callers.
Well, I hope you are, but that's okay.
Listen up. I read in the hunting guide that there's a
CWD, chronic wasting disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't transport your deer whole.
Right. Out of state.
Should we not hunt in Western Maryland?
Hunt in Western Maryland. Just be careful if the deer appears to be sick. Don't shoot it.
What does a sick deer look like?
Emaciated, having a tough time navigating, but it could look just as healthy as possible. And anybody that hunts in that zone, you can't always tell because they can carry that up to 2 years.
Right.
So you just want to be careful. Hey, Wes, I gotta either let you go or put you on hold or allow you to call back so we can talk about this. We got a group of youth hunters calling in right now. We want to get them in the woods, okay?
That's good. Go
Thanks,
ahead.
Wes. All right, buddy.
Call back.
Bye bye. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you all doing?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Oh, we got a bunch of little youths in here, and some of them actually. Some of them I look down to, some of them I look up to.
Little youth, huh?
It's a little bit physical, a lot of mental, too, I think.
Good. So how many?
It looks like they're all ready. They look more bushy-eyed than I do.
How many youths?
Over the weekend, we'll probably end up with about 23.
23. That's tremendous.
Yep.
That's tremendous what you guys do, and we admire you so much. Well, let's talk to some of them. Let's put some of them on the air. Let's go.
Sure. We will. Well, I'll walk around the room here real quick because they're all chomping to get out there.
I'm sure they're all chomping down breakfast too.
Yes, they're about done with that. But let me give you the phone to them.
Okay.
And, I'll put it on speaker here, and they can give you the name and age and a couple things about their hunt today.
That'd be great. Thanks.
All right. There it is.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
What's your name?
Griffin Glover.
Hi. Is this your first youth hunt today?
Yeah.
It is. How old are you?
13.
And what's your first name again?
Griffin.
Got it, Griffin. Well, look, what kind of gun are you using today?
I'm using a 20-gauge Encore.
20-gauge Encore. Encore, great. And who are you hunting with?
Tell me Uncle Sarge.
Uncle Sarge.
Uncle Sarge. Hi, Uncle Sarge.
Good morning, Alan.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Doing good. Pleasure goose hunting with you a couple years ago. Maybe we'll get to do it again this year.
Yes, sir. Sounds good to me. I hope you have a great day, buddy. You headed to the Waterfowl Festival?
Perhaps.
There you go. Well, enjoy yourself.
All right, get off the phone. Let the kids talk. Who's next? Who's next?
I'm Gabriella Bentley.
Hi, Gabriella. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is this your first hunt?
No, I've been hunting for about 3 years.
30 years?
Three.
Oh, three. Oh.
I thought you said 32. So.
Hey, Gabriella, have you got a deer yet?
Yeah.
You have? A big buck?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Wow, congratulations. Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who has another thing that we do where we measure your deer's antlers, and then we get you in the record book for Maryland. What do you think of that?
That's cool.
Yeah, we're probably going to come out to the lair someday and do that with everybody. What, you think you could bring your deer in someday?
Yeah.
All right, that sounds great. Well, you have good luck today. What are you hunting with?
Thank you. My dad.
Your dad? What's your dad's first name?
George.
Okay. George, thank you for your help on that one. Who's next?
Bailey Ward.
Hey, Bailey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, good. You sound like you're an old veteran out there, like you've been hunting a few years.
Yeah, I've been hunting a couple of years.
Yeah. How's your success rate?
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Have you gotten a big buck yet?
Yeah.
How big?
Eight.
8 point. That's a nice deer. That's a nice deer. Is this close to your last year? How old are you?
I'm 15.
15. So you got this year and next year yet, right?
Yep.
Good. Yep. Good. Well, now, when you get your deer, do you help the adults with some of the deer drives and getting the deer out of the woods and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Yep.
You're a good man. You're a good man. Who's your mentor today? Are you going on your own?
My dad.
What's your dad's name?
Lester.
Lester. Hey, Lester. Good morning.
Right now,
I see your name on texts all the time for some reason.
Yeah, that's him.
Uh-huh. Who's next?
Got another one right here.
All right. Good luck.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Dixie.
Dixie, is that what you said?
Yeah.
How old are you, Dixie?
10.
10, is this your first deer hunt?
Yeah, I'm going to go out for my first time.
Yeah, oh boy, I'll tell you what. I want to see those pictures coming in from text today. Dixie, who are you hunting with today?
My mom, my dad, and my brother.
Your mom, your dad, and your brother. Wow, you're going to surround them. That sounds great. What kind of gun are you using today?
A 20 gauge.
Well, that's a good one. You know, I use a 20 gauge, and I'm a big old guy. So, Dixie, you sound like you're going to have a wonderful time today.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I think, Alan, everybody's headed back outside. I think they're getting ready to get in their trucks and go hunting.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate all the youngsters that called in today and you guys for taking care of this. 23 youngsters. Now, that's what you call passing it on. Guys, hey, give everybody kudos out there. Give everybody a round of applause from us at the Outdoors and Radio Show. And keep those pictures coming in, texting in to us, and we'll look forward to it, okay?
Great. I'd also thank the Maryland Hunting Coalition and NRA Hunter Services for what you do for us and with us. It's just awesome what you all get accomplished.
Well, thank you, Neil. I appreciate that. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Whoop. There they go. Onward and upward. What do you think about that?
That's tremendous.
These guys get together and they spend their own time, their own money.
Right.
You know, they give the kids, they feed these kids all weekend long. It's 2 days in Montgomery County,
right.
You know, and they work their butts off to get these kids some deer. You know, now some of these kids have come up through this program. They're featured in the Hunting Quarterly this time. And they've become very adept hunters on
right.
their own. You know, very adept. I mean,
they're probably better than me.
Well, we've had pictures of them in there for the last 4 or 5 years, you know, and you see them progress, and now they're 15, 16, 17, mm-hmm. 18, they're on their own. So, all right. So, Wesley, I'm sorry I interrupted you there, but I think it was worth it. So,
definitely was.
Yeah. So, tell me, what other questions did you have about CWD?
How do we process our deer? How do we handle it? Do we have to do anything different? I mean, we wear gloves when we,
When you field dress them, sure. Yeah. Yep. Well, do you actually hunt in that area?
I do. We hunt up in the Dan's Mountain.
Okay, but do you hunt in the CWD area?
far as I know, it kind of sounds like Dan's mouth.
Well, there's actually, if you look in the Guide to Hunting and Trapping or look online, there is actually a map of what they call the CWD area, a zone, okay?
Okay.
If you're outside of that, they've not detected any CWD out in that area. It's basically right along the river there in Allegheny County. In Allegheny County. So if I were you, I'd be very careful about processing the deer. And you don't take them out of state. So typically you will need to have that deer boned out. The head and the spine should be removed because that's where the prions are that could possibly potentially cause CWD or mad cow disease or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease or scrapie in sheep. But, you know, this is not a common thing and not easy to catch. So, you know, but that would be my recommendation. There are processors in that area who are set up to process those deers, and I think there's a list of them in the Guide to Hunting and Trapping, and there's Chuck.
I think so too.
So, I mean, do your due diligence there, Wes, before you go. That's what I do.
Okay, that's why.
And quite frankly, if there's any danger, if you detect any danger, okay, or in your mind there might be some danger, take the body shot. Don't, you know, try not to break that spine and that type of thing. But, you know, you should be just fine. There's been no cases of human transmission of CWD that I know of, maybe one. You know, I mean, it's a very, very difficult disease to catch, because what happens is once the animal's fully developed, they die quickly from that disease. But again, that prion can be carried for up to 2 years before any symptoms are shown.
2 years. Okay.
Yep. So I mean, the deer can have the prion in its blood system, in its nervous system. It's carried in the spinal fluid and the brain as well, and it brain tissue as well, and it can be and you know, the spinal cord and all that stuff associated with that. So just be, you know, just be careful handling that part of the deer.
The other question is, if we see a deer that looks, you know, sick or something,
yep,
put it down.
That's your decision whether to harvest or not to harvest.
Okay.
I mean, that's totally your decision. You know, if you do, you're going to burn a tag on it. If you're going to put it down, do the ethical thing and claim the tag.
Okay.
You know. I mean, you have harvested that animal. You've taken it to the ground. Whatever you decide to do with it after that is on you. And that's an ethical and personal decision.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the information, Alan. I really appreciate it.
Get on that. Get one of those Guide to Hunting and Trapping and read all the stuff about it. I mean, we've written about it and so forth, and maybe we'll pull it up here shortly and see if there's any new information we can share. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, Wes. Thanks for the call.
All right.
See you, buddy. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 68. We haven't had one caller that wants to get into the muzzleloader contest. Got a couple emails, right? Yeah, I know you've had two people enter. You know. We get more emails than we are calls. How's that sound?
Because it's easy to email.
Well, yeah, it's easy to email.
This way they can beat the system. They get entered into the contest, but yet they don't have to go on the air because not everybody wants to go on the air, Alan.
But everybody wants to win a muzzleloader.
That's true.
So here's the emails. Hi, Alan. Put me in the contest. Here's my name and phone number. You're right. It is easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're listening, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm picking on it. Yeah. So pick up the phone and call us. 410-WCBM. This is a talk show, not an email show.
Exactly.
410-WCBM 680. 410-922-6680. Come on. It's that easy. Everybody has a phone. Everybody's attached to their phone.
I had people call you from Ohio.
You had people call me from Ohio. Yep. And they're all in the muzzleloader contest because they emailed me.
No, they didn't email you. They talked to you. I just sent you names and phone numbers.
Oh, you're fun to poke. You're like a big old grizzly bear. You just poke you.
Remember, he's got a cane.
Yeah, I know. He's
he
armed.
Can use it.
He's armed. Yep. So, tell me about your experience in Ohio.
Well, you, anybody listened last week, they heard the interviews from the call-in. It was the first hunt, Jeffersonville, Ohio, and it was a pretty successful hunt. There were seven total hunters, and they got three deer. Two of the deer were killed by the same youth. He got a buck in the morning and got a doe in the afternoon. You talked to him, Braden.
Yeah, I did talk to Braden.
He's the one that has Duchenne's muscular dystrophy.
Yep.
The other one was one of the adults. He's in a wheelchair, and he got his 8-point in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
They all saw deer the last couple of days. The first day, I got to give them credit. They stayed out all day in the rain. It was a monsoon out there. I mean, I think I showed you some of my pictures. I sent you the pictures of the field where it looks like a pond.
Yes, yes.
But it's really just a field, and there's so much water out out there that it looks like a pond.
Yeah, crazy.
The people that the local people were tremendous. They Herb had a lot of volunteers volunteer the meals. The one little cafe. Out of the box cafe, they served us a spaghetti dinner one night.
Nice.
And then I went back, John and I went back the next day for lunch, and I had a bowl of sauerkraut soup.
Sauerkraut soup?
Yeah. It was pretty good. Pretty good.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
How do they make sauerkraut soup?
I don't know, because Mel, his wife, just sort of does it. Doesn't use a recipe. That's just a handful of this and that. It's not all not that much sauerkraut, but there's sausage and a little bit of sauerkraut in it, and
nice.
the broth, and it was good. It really was.
Cool. All right, we'll get back to you. Hang on here. Hunting trip. Patrick in D.C. Let's see what Patrick. Good morning, Patrick. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Alan.
What's going on?
Called you a couple weeks ago when we were packing up and ready to catch a flight to Ireland.
How'd you make out, buddy?
It was really good trip. Lovely. I think one of the things of interest I wanted to share with you is in Killarney, there's a national park there, and they have a large herd of red deer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a walking path right through where they are.
Wow.
Anything, they just stay on your walking path.
Right.
It's the red deer are running. We're there.
So you were a little tentative about walking through the middle of some running red stags, weren't you?
I wasn't. My wife was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they growl, they roar, they fight. I mean, it's pretty fascinating,
yeah.
their behavior. So did you hear them roar?
Oh my goodness!
Oh,
yeah. We really didn't have a good camera or anything, but we got some on the iPhone and everything. I might send you a little clip or whatever.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
But it was exciting. It wasn't just like it was one little herd. It was several large herds around.
Wow.
I didn't know that the red deer, the stags could crossbreed with the hind, with Sika.
I did not know that either.
No, but they were intermixed, and I didn't see any obvious, deer that looked like they interbred. But
yeah, that may be a legend. I'm not sure.
Well, I was talking to a photographer that does that there all the time, every year, every
right.
season, everything, and he says he's seen it. But.
Really?
It was an.
I would hope there's not any success with that.
Yeah, I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, you know? I think you should.
Yep, but that was a real experience. They're almost as big as elk. You know, it's hard to tell the difference. But you can feel when they roar, you can feel it.
Yeah, kind of like a big old turkey goblin close by. You can almost feel it shaking the ground blind.
Yep. You know, they were more interested in chasing off other stags than the people that were walking around.
Sure, sure, no question. Yep.
It's a beautiful country.
Now, did you get to hunt at all?
No.
Tourism?
The National Park Service just called them themselves. They don't allow hunting. But there is hunting in other areas of the country.
Sure.
So, looking into that.
Sounds good. Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful time. I know there's some terrific waterfowling over there. There's some great fishing in Ireland, and it sounds like that's on my bucket list. I'd love to try that sometime.
I had a lot of seafood, and it was fantastic.
That's good.
Really.
Good. Well, look, Patrick, I'm glad. Are you going to be hunting this year? Are you going to be down in the marsh this year?
Yeah, I haven't been able to get down, been too busy working all the time, but I hope to get down to do a little seek on.
Good. You killed a nice one a few years ago, if I recall. So
I did. I was on the first issue of
Maryland Hunting Club. Yep, I remember.
Yep.
So I will forward you a picture of the one that I think I saw, because this is the only 6-point in the local area. And we saw him the first day of muzzleloader season. After a young man missed a 5-point, he stepped out. The final Saturday of muzzleloader season, a fellow shot a 4-point, had the 4-point on the ground, and he walked out, and now I've seen him. So, yeah, he's in the same area, the same travel path, about 300 or 400 yard apart, the feeders anyway are. So we'll see if somebody takes him in firearms.
Okay. I look forward to seeing that.
Yep. All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
I miss the youth hunt. That used to be such a good time when the kids were young. I got some grandsons growing up.
Oh, man, you and I both. You and I both.
From the place up Briary Mountain.
Briary Mountain there. Lodge. Yeah, I remember those guys. I think they're still in business.
Yeah, we that was a fabulous time.
Yep.
It really was.
No question. So.
Kids were great.
Thanks for the call, Pat.
All right, see you.
See you, buddy. Bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Odell, good morning.
Good morning, Al. I just want to call and say good morning and enter my son-in-law in for the muzzleloader.
All right. Well, where's your son-in-law?
He's working. He's a firefighter. He do like 12-on, 12-off, or 24-on one day or something like that.
I got it. Sounds good.
Yeah, he says, come on, old man. You know my birthday's in December and Christmas coming. You could buy me a muzzleloader.
Well, if you recall, a couple weeks ago I talked about muzzleloader season and having a beautiful big stag at 190 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, and not wanting to try them with my muzzleloader. So,
I hear that.
So CVA has a special edition out now with a 30-inch barrel. And I think I'm going to get one and put some.
Yeah, I got an old Kentucky long rifle, 50 caliber.
Yep.
And he uses that. And he says, man, this thing here is like a broomstick trying to hit a deer with.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Odell. Well, I appreciate
30 years old.
Yep, appreciate the call. Yeah. You're in. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a blessed one.
You too, buddy.
Say hi to the missus.
I will do so. Thank you, Odell.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Hey, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and much more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. So whether it's on your smartphone, run your handheld GPS. Make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. That's the app that you can download. Onyx Hunt. Check it out. You'll like it.
Well, it's close to Thanksgiving, but this really feels more like December here across Baltimore this weekend. We've got freeze alerts posted for tonight. All the rain is gone. Sunshine back today, 43 this afternoon, 32 tonight, and a freeze alert up. And then sunshine Sunday, a high of 50 degrees, mid-50s Monday, and some half-inch rain on Tuesday. Cold rain, high of 53 degrees. Wednesday, high temps only in the 30s. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linux and Catonsville Linux now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linux bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linux. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linux.
So here's a couple selections for shotguns for your, a shotgun and a rifle for your upcoming deer season. And we'll keep this to the economy-minded person. There's the Browning BPS pump. Now, for deer models, it comes in both 12 and 20 gauge. If you like the pump shotgun, features bottom ejection, which is nice because the shell's not shooting out the side, it's shooting in the bottom. And it comes in 12 and 20 gauge rifle deer bottle models available, as well as all the gauges from 410 to 10 gauge. The AB3 Hunter. The A-Bolt 3 Hunter is an outstanding big game value package. Comes with a wood or synthetic stock, a blued barrel in action, a walnut stock, a 60-degree throw bolt action, detachable double stack magazine, and installed from the factory is a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. Calibers are 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm mag, and 300 Win Mag. Anything capable of killing most critters here in Maryland and around the country, including that 300 Mag. That's, you know, 307mm are definitely elk stoppers for sure. It's the AB3 Hunter, the BPS pump. Good guns for deer season right here in Maryland. All available at Clyde Sports Shop, the full-line Browning dealer, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. There's the music. We'll move all the other commercials to the next hour. And great talking to the kids. And
sure
Chuck
is.
And Chuck Spores here. Great talking to you about the physically challenged bow hunters of America. We've got some members hopefully for you. How do they get in touch with you for PCBA membership? Go to the website?
Yeah, no.
We'll talk about that next hour. All right. Now get out, stay out, stay safe.